coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Monday, the 25th day of March, 2024. It's hard for me to, man, 2024. Again, I ask, what happened to the 70s? I don't know. Yeah, 2024, can you believe that? We're really months away from the November election. Are we going to have an election? We didn't have a normal election. You know, real quick, okay, because I have a great show lined up for you. Actually, it's really not just my show. Randy Taylor is with me. We're going to be bringing on a guest. He's going to knock your socks off if you're wearing socks. And if not, it's just going to blow your hair back. I'm telling you, a guest from overseas, right, that is going to get into things. Now, I've been following this man, as Randy Taylor has as well. And you know, we here in America, now look, we tend to really think within the confines of the United States, right? That's kind of what we do. It's all about the U.S. It's all about our neighborhood, our county, our state, and our country. Yeah, on occasion we think about things on a global scale, but not enough. Think about that. And I'm as guilty of that as anyone. My goodness, you know, I am. But anyway, so the guest that we have, his name is Jim Ferguson, and I'm going to let Randy Taylor bring him on here momentarily. But he's a former parliamentary candidate with the Brexit Party, Barnsley. Okay, he's a businessman, entrepreneur. He is the founder of something called Freedom Train International. Folks, I want you to bookmark this website. I want you to go there and really soak in the information that's there. That's Freedom Train International. Of course, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. That's my website. His is, that's our website, I should say. His is FreedomTrainInternational.org. Okay, that's .org. FreedomTrainInternational.org. Just a marvelous information-packed website. The second thing about this I'd like you to do is I'd like you to follow him on Twitter or X or whatever the heck it's called now. Jim Ferguson UK. Follow him. Read his posts. Re-X or retweet or re... I don't know what you do, but you know what to do, right, with his posts. But read them. The guy has his finger on the pulse of not just what's taking place in a small sphere, but throughout the world. I can't say enough good about this gentleman and his work. I mean, he's on target and he's been on target. As a matter of fact, I just sent out, retweeted, re-exed, reposted something about what is coming, and that's the climate lockdowns. And that's at Hagman Report on X or Twitter, at Hagman Report. Now, just about that, of course, there's a ban, the shadow ban, search ban, I think, in place at Hagman Report. So I ask on Twitter, on X. Now, although we are on Gab, Getter, Truth Social, X is kind of the battlefield, if you will, the primary battlefield for the hearts and the minds of the people, many of them. That's not to, believe me, that's not to dismiss any other platform at all, because the other platforms, in my estimation, have better information and have more accurate information. But that's just me. All right. A couple of things before we get on to today's show. Number one, the first thing, folks, if you haven't done so already, please do me a favor. Please do this, because tickets are running out. There is a limited rub elbows with other like-minded people. This is Wisconsin Christian News, the conference on April 12th and 13th of 2024. And frankly, I'm kind of thinking this might be the last conference I attend. And there's a reason for that. I'm not going to get into that now. But we won't back down. That's the theme of the conference. I'm scheduled to be a speaker, and I'm going to bring with me from an evidence locker certain items that, folks, you're going to want to see, because no one else outside of a very, very, very small group of people have actually seen the items I'm going to bring. And this is about, you know, we talk about human trafficking and child sex trafficking. Well, what about the non-conspiratorial satanic ritual abuse that takes place with children and with others? How would you like to see, and this is just from my part, because all of the speakers are fabulous, but how would you like to see some of the evidence that was gathered from these rituals? That'll be there. Now, I'm not, obviously, this is a family-friendly event, so what I will show you obviously is not going to offend anyone, regardless of their age. It might spark their interest, but it's certainly not going to offend anyone. That's number one. So please, go to CoachDaveLive.com to get your tickets, or go to Wisconsin Christian News and follow links to get the tickets. But hey, I'd love to see you there, and we can I'll buy you a cup of coffee. We can rub some elbows and talk, and you can meet some fabulous people. Like-minded people. That's number one. The second thing is, you know, when I get excited about a product, of course, I talk about it. I want myhealthback.com/Hagman. I want you to remember that. It's, look, folks, you go to HagmanPI.com. I'm sorry, HagmanPI.com. And if you look right there, Eric the Tech is rubbing his cursor over that, I think. Are you doing the rub over that? Anyway. You can see where it says, I want my healthback.com. Click on that link, watch the videos. And if you're saying, oh, I don't want to watch the videos, well, inside the videos are very special offers for the product. This product, NanoSoma, I'm going to tell you something. You spray it in your mouth. I do mine four shots, five times a day. That's me, because I've got issues upon issues upon issues. And this, how can I best explain it? To me, in my mind, this tells your body, okay, you've got an issue over here, go over here and deal with it. Okay, I can just say this. I bad neuropathy. Bad neuropathy. To the point where even my doctor said, look, we're going to give you a course of morphine. And it didn't even touch it. Now, I'm not saying this is what did it. This is the only change that I've made. I started taking this, and it took a number of weeks, but my neuropathy is gone, which, let me tell you something, that's worth its weight in gold, okay? So try this. I want myhealthback.com/Hagman, but stick with it, because you're not going to see results overnight. If you're expecting that to happen, well, it's not going to. But stick with it, and you're going to find that this works. I want myhealthback.com/Hagman. I want myhealthback.com/Hagman. I want myhealthback.com/Hagman. Click on the link at HagmanPI.com. All right, with me, again, Randy Taylor. At Randy Taylor USA on Twitter or on X. and Jim Ferguson, which Jim is, of course, Jim Ferguson UK. All the links will be at HagmanPI.com in the program description box. All right, you ready? Eric the Tech, real quick. Got to check with you. How was your weekend? You okay? Are you ready to go?
Everything's good.
Everything's good. 5x5. Let's bring them on. Randy Taylor from the Hagman Report and Jim Ferguson, of course, from the UK Freedom Train International. Thank you both gentlemen for being here.
You're quite welcome, sir.
Yeah. My absolute pleasure being on with you both.
Well, good. Now I know are we going to be flipping? I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to flip this to, or we'll flip this to Randy and Jim on screen, and you don't need me on there.
And, keep your pretty face up there.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
It's a good advertisement for the spray.
Oh, wait, you know what?
It's, don't go away.
man, what am I going to do with you? Before we get into this, one thing that caught my attention, and there's so many things going on, but this is something that I have a feeling that Jim will touch on, is something I saw in the Gateway Pundit early today, and that's socialist policies. This is page one in the show notes. Steps toward a system that has always failed. Now, what about this? This whole thing, this whole report is about this country, but the globalist slide toward socialism or communism. And it begins with socialist policies. We've seen what happened in the UK. We're seeing that in real time. We're seeing what's happening throughout the European Union, but we're also seeing it happen here in the States as well as Canada and elsewhere. Folks, read this article because this will segue, or you can use this as a segue to this particular program. I don't want to bogart the program any further, so we'll go back to Randy Taylor and Jim Ferguson. Randy, go ahead.
Well, what you're saying there about the socialism, you go on down the road a little bit further, and you are into communism. Jim Ferguson here, this guy is in tune with everything. So I'm going to start by asking him this, okay? Doug had mentioned it before the show. We've always wondered, how does the UK see American politics and like where we're sitting now with this Biden guy and Trump? Just a real general, because I've always been curious what your neighbor thinks of you.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it's a real honor to be here with you, Doug, and Randy, of course. And I've followed your show for a long time, and it's a great honor for me to be actually here hanging out with you guys for a little while. In answer to your question, you were absolutely right, Randy. Socialism is just one step away from communism. And we're seeing that within a whole sort of cascading globalism that is coming across the whole world. The globalists really are employing, through agencies like the World Economic Forum, for example, although they're just one of many, this sort of strange type of, it's almost a borderline between fascism and communism. It's a strange mixture, a strange blend. And we've had people within the World Economic Forum often talking about China and how they applaud China and the way they have their social credit scoring system, which is just another method of control. But let me assure you, we love America. We love America and American people. You are our closest ally for a reason. And, you know, many of our people, many of our Scottish people, actually, Scottish Highlanders, emigrated to the United States by necessity after the Highland Clearances. And many, many very well-known Americans have actually got Scottish ancestry. Even President Donald Trump hails from not too far away from where I live in the Scottish Highlands. So I can assure you that we are watching with almost disbelief, not just of what's going on in the American politics with the Biden administration, or some people like to call it the Obama administration, because really it's a bit like a Scooby-Doo cartoon where they pull off the face, let's see who's the real evil actor here. And of course, it's the Obama mask underneath the Biden mask, in my opinion. I think that's why he was here just in the United Kingdom just about a week ago in a closed-door secret meeting with Rishi Sunak, just before we saw the havoc unleashed in the Moscow terrorist attacks. So there's a lot going on, but let me assure you, the Brits love the Americans, and we would always be with you no matter what happens. We're with you every step of the way. I know that we burnt the White House down many years ago, but, you know, let's live and forget that, eh?
we forgive you for that, by the way. I think I can speak for most people. And by the way, Randy Taylor and Jim, we're having a little bit of broadcast difficulties, so our three split screen is not stable. So we're gonna go with a two split screen, so that way we can have all three of us on screen. But very interesting. And that was the thing I was talking to Randy Taylor about too before. I want to know what the hell was Obama doing at 10 Downing. Look, it wasn't Carter. Well, obviously, and it wasn't Bush, but it was Obama. And I think you're absolutely right. I think this is Obama's third term, but it really caught my attention as to what he was doing over there. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, nobody really knows. Sorry, Randy. No, nobody really knows, but certainly there's a lot of people asking questions. Randy, sorry.
You go. Oh, no, that's fine. I was basically going to say the same thing. It did go up on the radar because this guy just keeps continuing like he's in charge. He's acting like he's in charge. He's doing what Biden should be doing. You know, there's a real mess there. And I don't recall any presidents that when they left the White House, keep an office 8 blocks from the White House, an operational office with all kinds of staff, you know, and constantly on political trips. And, you know, I get it that, you know, these people, you know, heads of state, I got all that. But when you have that, and then, like you said, now the fiasco in Russia, it makes you wonder. And some people are speculating that was the topic of their discussion, that was the purpose of the meeting. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And what you said about Scots, my biological grandfather, the one that started this whole mess, he came from Scotland. He's the one that came. He came from Scotland in 1939.
Well, there you go. There you go.
So you are absolutely right. And my wife's best friend lives in the UK, just outside of London.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that are going on around the world. And I appreciate, you know, you saying those nice things about me, Doug, as well, because we are listening. I mean, the reason I set up Freedom Trade International is sort of telling you a little bit, discussing a little bit before we actually went on air. And the whole purpose of that was because I have had followers around the world following me, a lot in the United States and a lot in Canada. And I reached out to them and I said to them, you know, what's happening in your own countries? And to my surprise, I found out that a lot of the things that was going on in the States and in Canada were very almost identical to what was going on in the UK. I've got friends in France. I've got contacts in Germany. And when I started to reach out to people, they were saying a lot of the things that they were going through were almost the same as what everybody else is going through. Rising inflation, rising food costs. Globalists infiltrating our national governments, people that have membership of the World Economic Forum that seem to be in lockstep. And we saw this during the pandemic. They all acted in concert. Do you remember the Build Back Better mantras that they were all spouting off? Trudeau in Canada, there was Macron in France, and Boris Johnson at that point was Prime Minister. Jacinda Ardern in Australia. I mean, they were all talking the same language. And it's quite clear to me, and I think most people who have got an ear to hear, and that is that they are taking their instructions from a central command. We don't quite know who that actually is. And I don't actually think it is Klaus Schwab that's running the show. He maybe likes to appear as if he is. But there are some things that are very dark, very sinister that are going on. And it is all connected through the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, which, interestingly, we should really call it the Gates Foundation because it's 86% funded by Bill Gates. It's not an independent institution at all. And then you've got people like the Bilderbergers, you've got the Council of 300, the Trilateral Commission. The list is extensive. And they all have one thing in common. They want to do away with national sovereignty because that is an obstacle to their plan of a new globalist one world order that they control. And I'm very worried about what's coming in the near future, especially in the United States of America with the elections coming up. I'm very concerned that they're going to try and do something that might stop a failure.
And folks, you're listening. Sorry, Randy. You're listening to, of course, Jim Ferguson. And if you go to his website, you can find out all about Jim and about the people behind him as well. Freedom Train International, where they redefine freedom in collective action. And Jim Ferguson is all about action, as we are too. So I want to thank him for that. Go ahead, Randy.
And I'm curious about this too. Like here in the United States, if you walked into a diner and you start talking about the World Economic Forum, most people wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about. Do you find it the same way in the UK and say Ireland? Because I notice there's a lot going on in Ireland. I like the way they do things, but the Irish people, they don't like you. They beat your ass.
No, hey, listen. I was in Ireland about 6-7 weeks ago, and I went across. They asked me to come across, and I went across, and I ended up going on a march with them. There's about 10,000 Irish patriots in Dublin, which of course is in Southern Ireland. And I was marching with them. It was a great atmosphere, great crowd. And when they realised that I had some Irish connections, especially to Southern Ireland, oh my goodness, the welcome I got was amazing. Of course, the Scottish Highlands and the Highlanders and the Scots in general have never had any kind of quarrel with the Irish people at all. There's never been any historical battles that I'm aware of. There's never been any issues. We're all what's called Celtic people. And the Welsh are a bit like that too. They're part of that Celtic heritage, and we've all got very similar traditions. But when I went across there, I was horrified to see the levels of mass uncontrolled immigration that's going on there, which is a globalist tool. And I was very, very honoured to be invited up on stage to actually speak. And I spoke to, as I say, about 10,000 Irish patriots there to a great applause. They made me very welcome, and I explained to them, you know, why I was there, and I was there to support them, and that I brought the best wishes of the people of Scotland to the Irish. And I think they understood and appreciated the fact that I'd gone all the way down to Ireland, to Dublin in particular, to be with them and to march with them and to stand with them. And even yesterday, I was posting up content of activities that they were standing up. I mean, thousands of people that were protesting against these massive amounts of illegal immigration that's coming in, destroying Irish communities. But to answer your question, Randy, yes, people are waking up. People are very aware of the World Economic Forum. And the mainstream media, or I should say the lying mainstream media, have tried to say, oh, that's all just a big conspiracy theory. But it's not. It really is happening. But we need to wake up more and more people. And indeed, you know, Freedom Train International, we have members and contributors now in the United States. A good friend of mine, Larry Alex Taunton, if you haven't ever interviewed Larry, I would highly recommend it. He's an author. He's a researcher. He's a public speaker. He's been on some of the big channels. He's been on Fox. He's been on CNN, a few others. But he was at Davos earlier on at the last Davos meeting, and he actually infiltrated them. He got to speak to former Prime Minister Theresa May. He was well aware of what was going on there, and he actually blagged his way into some of the inner sanctums there. But Larry and I became good friends about 9 months ago when I reached out to him. He was talking about the World Economic Forum. Larry's based down in South Alabama, about close to a place called Birmingham in Alabama. And I actually went down to see him after I'd concluded my tour in the States. On the speaking engagements, I was there, actually went down and I spent some time with Larry and his family. He's a fantastic guy. So I'm very honoured and very, very proud to have Americans working with me here in Freedom Train International, and indeed all around the world. But here's one of my ambitions. And I don't know, guys, if I'll ever get to see this happening or not, but it won't be for lack of trying. I believe that America is the lead nation in the world. It's the strongest, it's the most prosperous, the most powerful nation, with probably one of the most, I would say, arguably, the best constitutions perhaps in the entire world. You need to fight to defend your constitution, your code of laws, the Second Amendment. All of these things are vitally important. And I would love to see Freedom Train International being represented in every single state across the USA. And maybe you guys can help me to do that, because this isn't about me. This is about humanity. And I actually see this as a fight between humanity and what the globalists are trying to turn us into. And I say this without any kind of exaggeration, guys. I'm concerned about where they're taking the human race, because I see transhumanism as being their end goal. And I don't know what's been going on with the mandated vaccinations and all of these types of things, but it's deeply concerning to me. And we're starting to see all of the fallout that's coming from that. Freedom Train International is pushing forward with great people for freedom, and to also act as a way so that we don't get shut down by censorship, which is coming as well. We can just saw recent headlines with Telegram in Spain has been shut down. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
No, did not. This whole anything world anymore, I'm negative with it, because I haven't seen anything productive come with a world tag on it yet. United Nations, why is there still hungry? You know, it's just things like that. And every time you turn around, there's a connection to something evil, and United Nations is right there committing the evil. And you look at even the membership. You know, why would you have like Iran on a humanitarian council in Iran or in the United Nations? Why would, that just says that it's a mockery. And I think with Americans, we're a tough bunch, okay? But I think what's really, and the way they're doing this is they're invading without firing a shot. We're Americans. You fire a shot at us, and we're going to take you down. But when you come in with this night, and you know what I mean, like everything's cool, it's not a big deal. Some Americans just roll right along with that and don't think there's a problem. Anytime you bring up sovereignty with anything that's outside of the U.S., I got a problem. It's not open for discussion with other countries. As far as I'm concerned, we fought hard to get where we're at, and I have no intention, and there's a lot of Americans, we have no intention of turning this over to these clowns. And we get emails, we've discussed this before on the show, we get emails at least every week, literally begging us to never fold, never give in, because they say we're the last thing, we're the only thing left that's really fighting the globalists as far as a fear by the globalists. They're afraid of us. And I say that's because I write that off to the Americans very well armed. You know, but at the same time, you know, if a bunch of Chinese soldiers landed on the beach, you know, in Texas, we'd go fight with them. We would fight. That's it. No, but when they come in and they're, you know what I mean, they're treating them right and this and that, and the president doesn't even care. I think they do that, and it just slips by a lot of Americans that really need to be alarmed. You really need go ahead.
What you're seeing at the southern Texas, the southern border near Texas, I mean, what's going on there is alarming. I mean, I'm not an American, but I hate to see that. I absolutely 100% agree with you, Randy. And, you know, we're seeing this in Ireland. We're seeing this in Scotland, Wales, England. We're seeing it all over the UK. Unprecedented levels of immigration. We've seen what happened in France. Germany's the same. Holland, I mean, I was in Holland there just about a week and a half ago. I went over to support the Dutch farmers. There was a lot of people there. There was people from America. There was freedom fighters from America, Canada, Australia, the UK, and, of course, Holland there. And it was a big conference. It was called Taking Back Your Future. It was packed out. They were sold out. And it was in a little place called Zwolle, about an hour's drive from Amsterdam. I flew across, and I got a great welcome there, I have to say, and met up with a lot of people like Chris Barber, and Harold Juncker, who were the leaders of the freedom movement, the Freedom Convoy in Canada. I met them in Ottawa about 2-3 months ago when I was a crossover in Canada. Great, great guys, you know, and many others who had come across with them. But they're trying to take away people's ability to feed themselves, because one of the big things that the globalists are trying to do is to control the food supplies. We see Bill Gates buying up farmland in the United States like there was no tomorrow. And he's been allowed to do it because it's globalists that are running the White House. It's people like Obama that's in there behind Joe Biden. Joe Biden, I'm sorry to say, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but he's seen as a joke around the world.
You're not being disrespectful, sir. Most of us hold that exact same opinion.
Yeah, well, but you know, as a non-American speaking about an American leader, I'm always conscious of it. But it's the same with the Canadians. I have so many Canadian friends, and I think Trudeau is just another globalist puppet. But what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to push back, and we're going to have to unite all of us, because any country, even a powerful nation like the United States, with the many millions of people that you have there, and by the way, you know, I've grown up with firearms. I'm a country boy, and firearms are no stranger to me. But what I did see when I was in there, every time I went out for a meal with the group or the people that I was hanging out with, they were all packing. They were all packing heat, you know. And the amount of times I got handed a revolver or a pistol across the table, say, Jim, check that. And I go, like, okay, you know, slip the magazine out, just make sure there's not one chamber. And yeah, there's usually one chamber of you guys, you know. But yeah, great people. But they made it very clear, you know, if the chips are down, if somebody's threatening them or their family, they'll use those firearms. And we have a right, a God-given right, to defend ourselves.
Yes.
But that's what this socialist type creeping that's creeping into our respective governments are trying to make us afraid to stand up and fight back, afraid to defend our communities and our children. You know, that's what they're trying to do, make us intimidated. Mm-hmm. But I respect you guys, and you know, we've got to unite, because even a powerful country like America cannot stand on its own. And that's why Freedom Tree International is reaching out to people in Germany and France and Holland. Even down in South America, we've had people showing interest down there. It's quite incredible. We only launched at the end of January. We have multiple thousands of members around the world, and it's growing. And I think as more people see censorship kicking in, like I said, Telegram is now being closed down in Spain. During the riots in France about 9 months ago, we saw Article 21 enacted, and France went dark. You know, all social media platforms went dark. It was a scary, scary time. And I had some contacts there. I speak a little bit of French, and thankfully they were able to keep the information coming out. But it just goes to show, guys, how easily a dictatorial, dystopian-type regime can decide to shut you down. They don't like what you're saying, they'll shut you down. Doug, you talked about shadow banning. I have a Facebook account. I'll give you an example. I during the start of the Hamas attack in Israel, I put out a particular tweet. It went to 11 million views very, very quickly over the weekend. I put the same tweet onto Facebook, and it got 11 views. So 11 million and 11 views. It just goes to show the censorship's real.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm shadow banned so far back I can't find myself on Twitter. A quick question. One thing we don't get is a lot of real specific overseas news. The Dutch farmers. Where is that at right now? As far as there were prior to some resignations and an election, they were. I know they were looking at 5,000 farmers. That's what we were told, losing their farms. Where is that at now? Because we don't, just on a normal web search, we're not seeing it. We're not just seeing it.
I've got to say that the Dutch farmers did a fantastic job. They were the first sort of real farming protests with hundreds of thousands of people coming out, massive, massive demonstrations. But what the globalists did was they just closed ranks, and they just completely sidelined them and ignored them. Now, I had a very interesting interview with a chap called Jasper Smith, who is from Holland, and he's a journalist, and he's been a lot around the Dutch farmers for a long time. He came on my channel, and I was asking him the same kind of questions. Of course, I met him when I was over there, and I talked to a lot of the farmers. They are looking at what's going on, in particular in Germany and France, and there's been massive protests in about 14 out of the 14 countries out of the European Union member states. And indeed, there's rumblings in Ireland, there's been rumblings in the UK as well. But what the globalists are trying to do is use mainstream media to basically not cover those protests. They failed, and they started to ignite around those other countries. But the Dutch farmers need our support, because they've tried their best to get these people to sit up, like Mark Rutte, who is the outgoing president of Holland, of the communities over there, and he is consistently refused to listen to them. He just dismisses them out of hand. There's a very high arrogance with these globalists, and they're a little bit fed up, a little bit demoralized, because they're now they're saying, well, what is the point of protesting if it doesn't change anything? And unfortunately, there is now a hardening. There is now a realization that they may have to go further. And there's always the danger that the globalists will try to use that to crack down, like we saw happening in Canada and in Australia. You know, both those two countries I mentioned were brutalized by people like Dan Andrews in Victoria and Trudeau and his administration in Canada, to the point where, quite frankly, it was almost borderline crimes against humanity. And, you know, it wasn't, I don't think it was an accident that Tucker Carlson went to Canada when he did. I watched that very closely. And indeed, one of the ladies that spent the time with Tucker over there was actually over in Holland with me. And I was talking to her about some very interesting things to do with that. But, you know, there's a real another thing that the American people need to understand, guys, and that's what's coming out of Canada right now is that there is deep CCP, Chinese Communist Party infiltration going on there. I've interviewed special forces veterans from Canada who've told me some shocking things about Chinese soldiers going to high security military bases in Canada and obtaining deeply secretive and, you know, combat-type information right under the noses of the generals that were there, who were told and ordered to allow them in by the Trudeau administration. Mm-hmm. The very fact that Tucker Carlson went there, I don't know if it was a warning shot across the bows of Trudeau or not, but I can tell you now, because there are people, and it's not come from General Flynn, he does follow me on my channel, but there are people probably in the same capacity or close to that type of background. We're deeply concerned that you guys in America have an administration under Trudeau in Canada, in North America, that could be infiltrated by the CCP. And they are no friends to the American people, and they're no friends to the Canadian people. And there's a big scandal brewing here in the UK right now. And that is the level of Chinese infiltration. There's been hacking going on. There's been cyber attacks going on. And our Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, is married to a Chinese member of the CCP, and she is on their payroll. That's a fact. That's verifiable. And that is one of the most senior people, apart from the Prime Minister, in the British government, with those deep links back to China. And China is not a friend of the UK either. So I think we've got some big problems, guys, and I hope that we get a Trump administration back into the White House.
Yes.
And I hope he goes after the globalists, because one thing that Larry Alex Taunton did tell me on his visit to Davos, he said, you know, Jim, because I asked him, do you think the globalists are really afraid of these farmers and farmer movements? He says, no, but I'll tell you what they are afraid of. They're really afraid of Trump getting reelected, because Trump is not one of them. Trump is his own man, and he can't be bought. And if he gets back into power, the child abuse, the trafficking of children and people around the world, the levels of corruption that's now coming out about the Biden administration, I tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't military tribunals set up en masse, and not just in America, but indeed right around the world. And in my opinion, I think that's necessary.
We are definitely in a mess. We've been in a mess for some time. They're terrified of Trump. They're doing everything they can to keep him from getting elected. They're dealing with these court cases. These court cases are asinine. And then we've speculated too. We're concerned, Doug and I have, and other people, we're concerned for his well-being. Yeah. And we know we've killed our leaders before. That can happen. And that the globalists and the people that are against Trump, I just think they're walking in areas where angels should fear to tread. Because if something were to happen to Trump tomorrow, I would hate to see what happened in the U.S., in our country. It's nuts. What you were saying about China up in Canada, man, they don't even try and hide it anymore. We got Chinese police stations. I don't know if you're aware of that. But he's got cabinet people, Trudeau does, that serve on associations in China, serving cabinets over there. And that is so wrong, unbelievably wrong. And people just seem to, and go about their lives. And I guess because there's so many distractions, so many things going on, I guess it goes right over there. I think some people are just scared to look at it. My parents were like that. It's almost like they were scared to look at it. Like, if you don't pay attention to it, it'll go away. That's not going to happen. That is not happening. It's escalating. Absolutely. What are your opinions of your opinion personally? Since I value your opinion, the last presidential election that we had, how do you see that? And how do the people in the UK see that? What's the word on the street? You know, the common opinion.
Well, I've made no secret of the fact that I'm a Trump guy. You know, I'm not an American, but I watched what Trump did in the United States. I thought he was a good president. And one of the things I really respect and admire about Donald Trump is he puts his country first. Now, I'm not an American, but I love leaders that put their own countries first. I don't mind a leader that puts their own people first. That's what good national leaders should do. They shouldn't be putting the interests of a globalist New World Order first, like so many of them are doing. Trump didn't do that. The word on the street is Trump has massive support. He's got massive support. Don't be misled by some of these people like Rishi Sunak or some of these others who are just globalist shills in their own right. The people in this country would love to have President Trump as their president, I can assure you, even here in the UK, because he's seen as a man of the people. I know, I can tell you, in my opinion, as a non-American, I can tell you right now that 100% Donald Trump loves his country. And he will do anything to defend it and to protect his own people. And that is why the globalists fear him so much, because they know that their crimes against humanity are going to be exposed. Their child trafficking, their sexual crimes against children. The whole thing is corrupt. I mean, it is so bad. And we see that coming out of Ukraine as well. I mean, the amount of money that's gone over there, the corruption that's gone over there, the Hunter Biden laptop, the cover-up with the CIA and the FBI. You know, I'd like to see General Flynn, if Trump gets re-elected, I'd like to see General Flynn, who is the former head of the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, go in and shake up those intelligence three-letter agencies, because I think a lot of them are corrupt now as well. But I assure you, I thought when I watched the election, I was watching it and I was tuned into, I think it was the War Room or was it Breitbart News? I can't remember whichever one it was, but I was tuned in watching it live. I think it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning over here. It was the second time I'd watched the elections over in the States. I was thrilled by it. I mean, I was watching it. And I was watching that curve where the top line goes up like, or probably should do it like this so you guys know it, the top line was up like that, yeah. And Biden was down here, and then all of a sudden it went up like this. And of course I watched it where there was a flood in one of the ballot offices and they had to close that down, and I'm thinking, well, that's a bit strange, you know, and then they said, oh no, that's it, we're all going home, you know, and then all the footage emerged of all the van loads of ballots coming in and postal ballots coming in, and the next thing you know, Biden has won with more votes than even Obama had won. I mean, who believes that? I certainly don't. And that's why I'm particularly concerned. They seem to get away with it the last time, Randy, but we've got to make sure they don't get away with anything like that again. And my concern about these climate lockdowns that I reported on this morning coming out of Oxford, where they're looking to do these trials and actually have a climate lockdown, not a pandemic lockdown, but a climate lockdown. That's just deeply alarming to me. Every fibre of my body is saying that's a red flag. And just before an election in the United States, that's very concerning. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned that they're going to set something up to try to prevent that, or at least to try to utilise postal ballots coming in and abuse it. That's concerning to me.
Yeah, these postal ballots need to go, unless they do the ones and they're in on time. You know, I would consider those that they're in on time. It used to be we had election night. Now we have election week. You know, and they're looking at stuff 4 and 5 days later. The thing that really bothered me on election night, about the time most people in about the Eastern Standard Time and maybe into Central, about the time they would go to bed, Trump was way ahead.
Yeah.
I stayed up, be honest with you, just out of morbid curiosity. I stayed up and I watched. And the strangest things I saw were like between 2 and 4 in the morning. Because it was like suddenly Biden was ahead. And they were showing particular races. And I'm like, I don't even know how you could count that many ballots that fast. You know, when there's a 20,000 jump, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's big. If I witnessed a 20,000 jump on election night like that between 2 and 4 in the morning, I'd be back there tearing things apart to find out what happened. You know, this, and I, you know, they're going to try it again.
Well, I remember
if we have an election jump.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I remember they put up the screens to stop people from seeing into the areas where they were counting the ballots again. Yeah. And once again, I mean, why would they do that? There was Trump supporters and Trump official sort of administrators there that were told to leave. I remember all of that, distinctly watching that. And I was very disappointed. There you go.
Yeah, the thing that really bothered me, when they and all these various times they tried to present things in a courtroom, and judges would just flat out and say, oh, there wasn't enough to make a difference. I'm sorry, you're wrong. There was several places where it was a tight race, and a difference would have been a big difference. It's always puzzled me. And you're seeing how the judges are treating Trump now. The man, you can tell the man loves his country, because anybody else would have said the hell with it and went home. You know, Trump loves his country, and he goes in there every day and is getting beat up in a different courtroom by a different prosecutor, by another judge. And the thing is, there's no merit to any of these cases. And then anybody that tells me Trump doesn't love his country, it's bad being a nationalist. Tell you what, I'll take nationalists all day long. Okay. And try to compare him to Hitler. No, the left, if you notice, they're changing the exact definitions of who they are. Because they call you and I and Doug, we're fascists. Mm-hmm. Really? But then you tell me that I've got to like homosexuality and I have to accept transgenders, you know, waving their penis in my kid's face in the classroom. And I'm the fascist? Really? I don't know if you're noticing that shift. It's almost like that shift where Democrats and Republicans were a certain way in the Civil War time versus what they are now time. In some cases, it's a complete flip. So I don't know if we're undergoing that again, because they changed roles at some point in history, somewhere between 1865 and 1965, the roles really started changing.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, and to be honest with you, you're absolutely spot on with that, Randy. And one of the things that it's the same actually in the UK, because, you know, I'm ex-Brexit party. I fought for British independence from the European Union. We wanted to get our sovereignty back. I felt we didn't need them telling us what to do, frankly. And to the surprise of a lot of people, actually, to be honest, including me to an extent, because I'm a former conservative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, traditional conservative, you know, traditional values, strong in defense, strong in law and order, you know, good for business, helping people. And when I joined the Brexit party, I kind of thought that there was going to be a lot of people who were either former conservatives or former United Kingdom Independence Party, which is another sort of right of centre party here in the UK. And there were those people there. But about 35 to almost 40% of the people in the Brexit party were from what I would call the traditional left. So in the UK, we have what's called the Labour Party. It was founded actually by a fellow Scot back in the day in Glasgow called Sir Keir Hardie. Now, what he founded was very different from what we've got in the modern Labour Party. They're so far to the left and so woke, you wouldn't believe it. But a lot of the people that fought for Brexit were from the traditional Labour left. And one of the things I discovered about them was that you could actually get on very well with people when you have a common theme and you're fighting for that common. I don't like using the term common purpose, because there's another agenda out there that talks about common purpose. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about that sort of commonality, common ground. Thank you, Randy. Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing that we found. And of course, a lot of people said we were fascists or we were far right, which is absolute nonsense. But a lot of people in the Brexit Party who were from the traditional left laughed. You know, they used to laugh at that because they were from the left. And they really were. And in fact, the Labour Party in the UK at one time was very anti-EU. So what you're saying about that whole shift really resonated with me there, Randy. It's absolutely right. But it's happened here in the UK, and I suspect it's probably happened in Canada and other places around the world the same way as well.
Yeah, and we're seeing, I just happened to notice it because I was looking at the subject of slavery at one time and who was really a conservative in 1865 and who wasn't. Everybody branded Lincoln as a conservative. Lincoln was some kind of clown, honestly. I don't have a whole lot of good things to say about Abraham Lincoln. I really don't. Fighting slavery and all, that's cool, but the public was misled again because that was only a small portion of what the Civil War was about. Really, it was more about Washington doing what they're doing today, Washington trying to exercise some strength on the South. And that's really what it boiled down to. And slavery did roll into that ball. But I think the slavery argument was used to void out other arguments or to keep them less obvious, if that makes sense. And they let's, you know, especially later, at least in the classroom and in the history books.
That's, for sure.
You know, I don't know. You guys are going through the same thing over in England. You're having, correct me if I'm right, recessions, inflation, and your interest rates are real high.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, I don't.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things on the minds of electors and people that are voting right now is this illegal immigration that's going on.
Yes.
But as I was talking to some people in Canada when I was in Holland with them, and they were asking me about this, and I said, well, actually, it's very similar. You've got what they're talking about is the uniparty system in Canada between what they call the Liberals, which are, you know, Trudeau's mob, and the Conservatives under Pierre Poilievre.
And the NDP.
The NDP are very far to the left, but I mean they're there, of course, as well, supporting Trudeau. But in the UK, we've got.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the UK, we've got the Conservative Party that's in power right now, but they're only Conservative in name only. They're no longer a Conservative Party. I mean, you talk about rhinos in America, Republican in name only. Well, that's what we've got here. They're globalists. You know, they're not real. And unfortunately, we've only got two main parties are the Labour Party, which is now very, very woke. They're all into this transgender stuff. They can't define what a woman is, for example. Sir Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party in the UK, he can't tell you what a woman is. Well, I know what a woman is. And most normal people, most right-thinking people know what a woman is. And people don't like what they've got on offer. So there has to be some alternative political means to doing it. But unfortunately, the globalists have got a foot in every camp. Whoever gets in, whether it's the Conservatives here or the Labour Party in the UK, it's going to be Klaus Schwab whose policies are going to be enacted. And in America, you've got big trouble coming. Because what we were talking about earlier on with the food and the farmers in Holland, John Kerry says that farming is the problem. And he's going to go after American ranchers and American farmers, aided and abetted by the likes of Bill Gates, and he'll take their land. Do you know what? In Holland, they're offering them 20 to 30% of what the value of the farm might be. So if it's worth, say, €6,000 or $6,000, say, they're giving them 2,000. Sorry, 2 million. So 6 million is what it's worth. They're offering them 2 million. And it's take it or leave it. We're gonna expropriate your farm. We're going to seize it, whether you like it or not. And these poor farmers have been farming those lands for generations. And Holland is the biggest or second biggest exporter of food in the whole of the European continent.
Yes, they're feeding the world. If they shut down all the farms, all those Dutch farmers, if they shut that down, there would be a real problem in the U.S. and Canada, just as the U.K. There would be a serious problem. Now, I don't know if that's going to have to happen to wake some people up, but it's like people are just snoozing on this subject. We're so large and so huge and with so many patriots. The thing is, we're not organized. You know what I mean?
Randy, hang on a second. Speaking about organized, okay. I want to plug this right now. You're going to take a short break here. Folks, our tremendous guest, a lot of respect for this man, Jim Ferguson, former parliamentary candidate with the Brexit Party. And, of course, he is the founder. He's the man behind Freedom Train International. And folks, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go to freedomtraininternational.org. And one thing about Mr. Ferguson is he's the kind of guy who's organizing. He's getting his hands dirty. He's putting his money where his mouth is. He's doing a lot of things. But he's creating he's pushing a movement and actually changing things, getting things changed. And you can help him, and you can become part of this change community. I don't care if you're in the UK or where in the world you are. But one thing you can do is become part of the Freedom Train International community. Go to his website and sign up for his subscription service. And you can read about why it's necessary. But folks, for under $8, what is $8 a month? It's $7.77 a month. You can become part of this movement. You're not just, it's something where you're not just accessing exclusive content. You're actually participating in a movement. And that's the thing. It's a movement that stands for individual freedoms and rights. Folks, really assist this man, become part of the community, and realize that you're not alone out there. And he's done a great job in setting this up. Again, freedomtraininternational.org. And make sure you support this man, their efforts, become part of the community, and make the changes necessary. Real quick, before I get back to my guest, or our guest, I should say, Jim Ferguson, I just want to share with you, thank you for being a supporter of this broadcast, and appreciate everyone who's a supporter. I also want to thank our sponsors, including, you ready for this? Fighter Flare Flashlight. FighterFlare.com. FighterFlare.com. Folks, I have this. I have one in my car. I have one in my bedroom. I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most fantastic tools you'll ever find. You know, law enforcement agencies across the country, they're struggling to contain this steadily rising violent crime rates. You've got carjackings. You've got homicides and robberies. They show no sign of slowing down and having affected everyone, really, from lawmakers to residents alike. That's why I've been using today's sponsor, the Fighter Flare Flashlight. Sometimes it's hard for me to say, but I know what it is. Fighter Flare Flashlight. I absolutely love it. The Fighter Flare Flashlight. It's an all-purpose tactical flashlight designed for self-defense and personal security. It features an ultra-bright 800 lumens light with strobe lighting. Let me tell you what. I did that to Eric the other day, and he was none too happy, let me tell you. It's got SOS capabilities. It can help blind an attacker. And it comes with a list of features, including a glass-breaking hammer, a power bank, built-in lighter, and much more. Visit fighterflare.com. The link will be in the program description box. And I got to tell you this. If you use the code, promo code HAG, H-A-G, 20, you know, like this old hag, HAG 20, at checkout, you can get 20% off, plus receive several bonuses with your order, all for free. That's fighterflare.com. Click the link, and also make sure you use the promo code HAG20 at checkout for 20% off, plus a bunch of bonuses there, a bunch of bonus gifts. I'm telling you, it's all free. The bonuses are free. Hurry, because there's only a limited supply available. One more thing, and I love this too. If you would see all of the wires, all of the cables and such that power what we're doing here, you would be amazed. and that costs money. One thing that I found that helps me, helps us with respect to electric bills is this little device right here. You would think, look, I don't know how this works, but I know it works. It cuts your electrical bills down. I think we're into the double digits in terms of our electrical bills going down from this device. Don'twastepower.com. Don'twastepower.com. And just like groceries, gas, food, and what have you, your energy bills are expected to keep hitting highs, record highs, actually, over the coming months. I went to the store over the weekend, just absolutely blown away. $50, and I could carry it with one hand, the items I bought. And I'm not talking about steak either. I'm talking about necessities. You know, the power companies, they're not showing any signs of lowering their costs. That's why I've been using that magical little device that I showed you. I absolutely love it. Thanks to it, I'm able to help slash our power bills, beat the utility companies, and keep more money in my pocket every month. Folks, use the link in the program description box below to get 65% off, plus receive, again, additional several bonuses with every order for free. And folks, get it before they sell out, because these are selling out. You got to know people are wanting to slash their energy costs. Go to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Once again, don'twastepower.com. Order now. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. And I want to thank everyone for both your support and for supporting us who support or supporting those who support us. Appreciate that. Again, our guest, very special guest, Randy Taylor, done a great job in hooking up and arranging the interview with Jim Ferguson. An amazing man. I've got to tell you, the more I learn about this man, the more I see what he is doing to advance the truth, to fight against censorship, to fight it for your rights, whether you're in the UK, the US, Canada, Ireland, or wherever in the world. I'm telling you, the man has got his finger on the pulse of what really needs to happen, what's happening, but what really needs to happen. And I appreciate him a lot. His website, of course, is Freedom Train International. And I highly recommend you become part of his community. And if you don't want to do that, at least support him through your financial donations to keep his business running, to keep this initiative running. Again, freedomtraininternational.org. Randy, I'm going to turn it back to you. Oh, before I do, Randy, I want to ask Mr. Ferguson a question. Mr. Ferguson, how does the UK, but how do you see the events happening in Ukraine, especially right now? You got France poking the bear. You got all sorts of things taking place. What's your take on Ukraine and how this is all going to play out, if you care to venture a guess, I suppose?
Well, I've been watching that very, very closely. First of all, can I just say a huge thank you for what you said there about me and Freedom Train International. I will just say that we are completely self-funded. I've funded everything from its outset, and I do appreciate you giving us a bit of a shout-out like that. It is appreciated. We know we need sponsors, we need members, but the fight continues, and there's a lot to be done. But, so Ukraine is an interesting one just now. They are losing the war. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. They have lost the war with Russia. They have thrown all countless billions of taxpayers' dollars from America, from Britain, from everywhere. And it's made no difference. They've seen Abrams tanks being blown up. We've seen Challenger tanks being blown up. It's a mess. And the corruption that's going on there is off the charts. What they should have done is let them get a peace deal arranged. It could have saved a lot of lives. I think there's something like 600,000 dead Ukrainian military. And I've got nothing but the highest respect for the Ukrainian soldiers. You know, they're brave. They're fighting hard. They've fought valiantly. But they shouldn't have had to do that. And what has happened now, though, with this attack in Moscow, where men, women, and children, civilians, were butchered by four or five people that they tried to claim were ISIS. I've got serious concerns that this is now going to escalate. And indeed, the SBU and the GUR intelligence HQs in the heart of Kiev have been hit by Zircon hypersonic cruise missiles just within the last 24 hours. So we've seen, because throughout the escalation, throughout the conflict so far, we haven't really seen too much in the way of attacks on Kiev itself. And of course, it's difficult to understand really the history behind it, but this goes right back to 2014 when the Donbass and the Luhansk areas of eastern Ukraine come under very serious attack. They tried to ban the native language, which happened to be Russian. People don't always realize that Ukraine and Russia have a very long shared history. It's not like they're completely two separate countries. They're very much one and the same. But after the breakup of the Soviet Union, some of these other countries, you know, broke away and became independent, which is fair enough. But the way I see this playing out, I think we're going to see an escalation. And if there's more provocations carried out, if there's proof that it was Ukraine that did it, or backed by, shall we say, Western intelligence agencies, then there could be a very, very serious escalation taking place. Because if you keep on poking the bear, eventually it's going to bite back, and it's going to bite back hard. And don't underestimate what Putin is. I'm not a fan of Putin. I think he's a good leader for the Russian people. I know his background is KGB, which should make people a little bit more cautious about prodding and poking where they have no business to. But Victoria Nuland, Senators McCain and Lindsey Graham, when they went over to Ukraine, they stirred up a hornet's nest. And I don't have any doubt about it. It was a CIA-backed coup that took place there.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but in my view, you mentioned Victoria Nuland. Every time I hear that name, things explode in my head. That's one bitch, in my view, that should be tried for war crimes. And if convicted, hung from the lamppost outside the Capitol. I really believe that her, Obama, and that whole cadre that you mentioned of that cabal of warmongers, Randy and I talk about this all the time. It's just so unnecessary, the bloodshed, the suffering. Thank you. And again, I didn't mean to interrupt or over talk. Randy, go ahead and continue.
Well, and right, we've known from day one, they keep talking about the Ukraine fighting Russia. That's not a fight. Okay. Russia could have wiped them out in 10 days if they had wanted to. People don't seem to grasp that. Russia is what's called a superpower, you know, like China and like the United States. Ukraine is not ranked up there. And this is the most ridiculous thing. The money they have sent over there, misappropriated, and you get little sniffs of it here and there that some money went over here and some money went over there. It's padding people's pockets. And these people that are asking for that money, they know damn good and well that another $200 million isn't going to solve their problem. They got a much bigger problem than that. And I'll stand by that Russia's just been playing with them. Putin's trying to make a point. I think it has something to do with natural gas, personally. How long it's going to take, I don't know. But when he puts the hammer down, it's going to be a real mess. And we've also been kind of confused because we hear about the war and how bad it is and all. At the same time, I'm seeing videos present day where people are sitting around eating at McDonald's and everything looks cool. So it's kind of a confusing war from where I sit with no, you know, I don't have anybody on the, we don't have anybody on the ground over there that can actually report that to Jim. You probably have a better idea of what's going to happen there. Honestly, what do you see happening and what kind of time frame, rough time frame are you thinking as far as any kind of resolution?
So, well, there are two things. And by the way, you're absolutely spot on once again, Randy, because well, we've seen a lot of images of nightclubs, people out partying, having meals, having a laugh, you know, all of that sort of stuff coming from Kiev. It's like there isn't even a war really on. That's because Russia has actually tried not to bomb Kiev. They actually would, well, I don't know about now, but they certainly up until, you know, a few days ago would have probably been quite happy to sit down and have a meaningful discussion on some kind of truce or some kind of peace treaty. But there's a couple of things that people don't always appreciate about Ukraine. First of all, it is extremely rich in minerals, extremely rich in fertile soil. It is the breadbasket of that entire region. And so much of the grain that comes out that feeds the world actually does come from Ukraine and has been over the years. But it's very rich in minerals. And there is rare metals that can be found there as well. But let's not forget about the labs, the laboratories that have been there, funded by the US, funded by Obama, funded by the Biden administration. And there's been a lot of things going on there. And even Victoria Nuland herself, sorry, Doug, to mention her name again, but, you know, she was being interviewed. I forget who the person was that was interviewing her, but she talked about Ukrainian bio facilities or something like this, you know, and you could see her trying to say the words without saying what she really, really meant. She is a twisted lady. She is a twisted lady. I share your revulsion of her. But there has been a lot of stuff going on there that they are terrified the Russians were going to come into those facilities and find out about. So in terms of timelines, a lot will now depend on what happens with Ukraine, if they continue provocations, especially the likes of what we saw happening in Moscow at the mall, the concert hall. I wouldn't like to guess. I wouldn't want to be in Ukraine right now, I'll tell you that. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near President Zelensky right now because he is really pushing it. I mean, he released a video, I don't know if you guys saw it, where he mocked President Putin and said that he was the reason that there was this massacre taking place.
I think that video was on Twitter, yes.
Yeah. Randy Taylor, there's an ear floating around, a human ear floating around somewhere. Never mind. I was going to make a joke. I shouldn't even joke about that. Go ahead.
I don't know who was behind. I know CIA. As far as I'm concerned, they were behind what happened in Moscow. What players they use, don't know. We usually don't know. But it reminded me so much of back in 2002, Al-Qaeda coming in and taking over the theater. And they used a sleeping gas or something. It wasn't really clear exactly. They said Al-Qaeda, but it wasn't like a typical Al-Qaeda attack where you had videos and, you know, you had a lot more proof that the common person standing on the street could listen to it for 10 minutes and know deep down in their heart that was an Al-Qaeda operation. We're seeing the same thing with this. It's not, they got some guy, they electrocuted him with I was watching Arrest being made, and I just am not sold on them saying it's ISIS. I didn't see anybody there that looked very Middle Eastern to me.
Well, and that goes back real quick. That goes back to the Obama meeting. Of course, who really helped develop ISIS-K? Mm-hmm. And that was Obama and his minions and Jim Ferguson. You know, it just the timing of his visit to London really, man, I'm stuck on that. Okay, I again, you know, look, I don't know. But I do know that there's something really off on that whole attack.
Oh yeah, and what you're into, what you were saying, you know, we watched Al Qaeda morph into ISIS. We witnessed that basically in Iraq, and then when they were doing freedom fighters in Syria and all that, that's where Obama really think got involved and really empowered ISIS. The Lord knows we were arming them, and there was money flowing. And that explains a lot of what happened in Libya.
Well, and the Afghanistan, $7.12 billion in equipment making its way to Ukraine.
Yes.
Okay.
Conveniently left behind.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, I don't want to take up the time here. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead, Jimbo. You were talking about, well, I think that it'll be more sooner than later on Ukraine and whatever's going to happen, be it all out war or come to some moment of truth, you know, truce of some sort. I think it's really on the horizon, and I think it is forthcoming. Reason being, financing is getting really tough. They're having a hard time even walking in and selling it to the U.S. Congress. And yeah, you know how the U.S. Congress is. Once they drop the bomb and say they're not doing it, they're not going to do it. But that's where I think where we're at. I think there's going to be a quicker resolution. I don't think it's going to be another 2-year conflict. I don't think there's an additional. I don't think the shelf life is there. But your thoughts?
Well, I would totally agree with you, Randy, and I agree with Doug's assessment as well, because what we're witnessing is really the final stages of it now. I think if Ukraine is resorting, and let's face it, I don't believe for one second that these were battle-hardened ISIS Islamic fundamentalist fighters. They would have blown themselves up rather than be captured. Mm-hmm. These guys were low intelligence, you know, two-bit goons that were hired to kill people for money. That's all they were. And, you know, there's just no way that was an ISIS operation, at least not in the traditional sense of the term. You're absolutely bang on about Obama and ISIS. Trump, in fact, said, just, you know, I forget when he actually said it, but I posted it quite recently, where he said that ISIS was the creation of Obama and his deputy, Hillary Clinton. So I have to agree. I think he's probably right. But I don't think it's going to go the 2 years either, Randy. Look, I think we could be witnessing, I have to say it, I don't like to, you know, get too sort of, you know, dramatic about things. But what I am telling my members within Freedom Train and what we're going to be doing very, very soon now is putting out the member-only content, because we're going to be now moving to the second phase. We've kept the doors open. We've sort of given people the chance to come in and see who we are. Well, we're going to the second stage within weeks. And that second stage is because what we are witnessing around the world is a shifting dynamic. And what I mean by that is that there is probably likelihood of war. I see major, major upsets coming. And I don't think we're going to be into 2025 or 2026 to see it. I think we might see it in 2024. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to continue the networks. And we are very, very interested in taking people in the United States with us in this as well. And maybe you and I should have a chat, Randy and Doug, about what we can do to help push that forward, because I can't do all this on my own. That's why I'm so lucky to have these contributors around me who have come in and helped me to help set it all up and to help run it and help to maintain it. But we've got to make sure that we're taking in the kind of media outlets like the Hagman Report that can get that information out to the people. And I have to praise you guys for what you do. You are absolutely at the pinnacle, cutting edge of truthful reporting. And that's why I watch your reports. And I'm honoured, once again, to have had the opportunity to be one with you. But, you know, we've got to get, I want to see every state in America with a Freedom Train representative. And not just that, I want to see it going into the operational levels, from the strategic where we're at to the tactical, regional, and then into the operational levels where we've actually got help groups going out. We've got people that are actually working together, learning how to grow your own food, how to be self-sufficient, how to be ready for whatever comes down the line. Because you know what, folks? It's coming, and we've got to get ready and prepared for it. We don't have that much time left, I don't think.
And I think some of the organizations inside the U.S. really do need to look at what can we do internationally, because there's safety in numbers. There's strength in numbers. There's a message that numbers can send. And rather than while walking around going, I'm a patriot, well, where do you meet? I'm a patriot. You know what I'm saying? We got to have some, I agree with you 100%. There has to be some sort of organizational structure, some hierarchy, you know, just something there to build on. And I think you've already started that. I think that's pretty awesome. I'll be signing up for that later today. But we've got to do something. We're running out of time. I can't stress that enough. We are running out of time as people, as the human race. I mean, these clowns, they And here's the thing. They've told us what they're going to do to us. That's the part that floors me. And it's just like the plan from the Muslim Brotherhood when they found the plan in the hotel room. It detailed everything they're going to do. And guess what? We don't do anything. We didn't do a stop it. No, we opened the door and brought more people in. I agree with you. We've got to do something. We need to do it soon. We need to continually build on it. And I think this Freedom Train International is fantastic.
Yeah, I just want to say this, folks, again, freedomtraininternational.org. Let's all band together behind them. As Randy is doing, I'm going to be becoming a member as well, because we need the global part of this. People are so centric in their thinking with respect to the U.S. Look, if we have this global force to be reckoned with, I think that we, and Randy, you said too, power of numbers, and Jim, power of numbers, plus your product. I've got to say this, folks. Jim's product is fantastic in terms of its quality of intelligence and educational and information. So please support that. Go to freedomtraininternational.org. Go ahead, Randy.
And Jim does not lie to you. One of the things here on the Hagman Report, we're not going to give you some made-up stuff. We never do, never have, never will. Okay? I've followed Jim for a long, long time before I even connected with him. And he's dead nuts on the numbers every time. He knows what he's talking about. And he can see more in the world and in Europe and places like that than we do, just simply through membership to his organization. That right there, you know, he can draw from that. He has more international connections than I do. He has more than Doug does. You know what I'm saying? This is a world fight. We are fighting for humanity. We're not fighting just for some people in Mississippi or something. You know, this is a serious thing, and it has to do with mankind. Your children, your grandchildren. Yeah. I should ring some bells. Jumbo?
Yeah, I just completely concur. Once again, I do appreciate Doug and Randy for giving me the shout out that you have, because, you know, what we're doing is we're bringing people together. When people come into this online community, they realize they're not alone. You don't have to be alone, and you don't have to be afraid. There is a lot of us, and we are building something that is, I suppose I was inspired by the Tea Party movement in the United States that formed, what was it, 20, 30 years ago? And I think that movement was a grassroots movement. It kind of just grew. And that's kind of the thing I see. But this is just on a global basis. This is on an international basis. And, you know, my time spent in the United States was incredibly productive. I enjoyed meeting the people there. They were great people. And it confirmed to me that the Americans were absolutely worth fighting for. And I'm a non-American. But I love the American people. I love you guys. I love the Canadians. I love the Australians. I love all of the people that believe in their own national sovereignty and their own freedom. And I want to unite people by taking them with us so they don't get left behind and they are prepared for the changing world that is coming, because there are big changes coming. We haven't even talked about CBDCs or 15-minute cities or some of the things that are coming with digital ID. But once again, you need to be aware of it. And the good news is that there is hope. There is always hope. And I believe that we have a God-given right to have a hope in our future. We shouldn't be living in fear or being afraid of the knock on the door from the Gestapo-like globalists or those people that want to tell us how to live our lives. We should be free to choose that path ourselves. And I'm deeply grateful and very humbled, once again, to be on with both you and Doug.
Well, we're thrilled that you accepted the invitation. And there's so much that, you know, we want to share. People, you mentioned the World Economic Forum. People don't even see that for the threat that it is. They don't see this. We have been fed the biggest snow job in the world ever. The shot. I mean, if that isn't an attempt at total control, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they killed people. They killed people. And what you were saying about Klaus Schwab, you know, I look the structure inside the World Economic Forum is not really easy to access. You know, to see who's there. You've got Klaus Schwab, and then who's the religious guy that said...
Yuval Noah Harari.
That one said, oh, your freedoms are just... that's your imagination. You imagine these things. Really.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, because what I'm reading is basically like Mein Kampf. You know, it's something that like Hitler would have come up with. Okay? I think that it's like the Fourth Reich. And what I'm not understanding is how people can sit there with a straight face and support this crap.
Yeah, I don't exactly. Get it. And gentlemen, we only have about 5 minutes left. I just want to give you this warning. But going back to what Jim said initially, you know, behind the WEF is the Club of Rome, the Committee of 300, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. These are not conspiracy theories. These are real NGO, these are organizations that have an impact and have influence from Downing Street to the halls of Congress and the White House. Go ahead.
And ladies and gentlemen, real quick, I'm going to give this to Jim. Shoot me an email. I want to know your comments on today. Maybe there's something that you want Jim to talk about next time he's here. But RT@HagmanPI.com. RT@HagmanPI.com. Shoot me an email. Give me your thoughts on what happened today. I think it's been a fantastic show. This man is a vault of information, and I'm turning it back to him. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim. You've got about 3 minutes to wrap up and give us your final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts are, I think that we, instead of being passive observers of the World Economic Forum having their global meetings in Davos, perhaps we need to have our anti-WEF meeting. And what finer a place to have that, maybe in the likes of Ireland. So I am going to share with you something that is not public knowledge yet, but I am working with partners around the world to have an anti-WEF alliance meeting. And we are looking at potential for Ireland, perhaps this year, perhaps later on in the autumn, because Ireland is one of those places that I'm dearly you know, fond of, and I love the Irish people. And they're getting a hard time over there, I can tell you. They really are. You know, and I saw it with my own eyes. I was taken to places that most people don't get taken to, I can assure you. And I was very warmly received by the Southern Irish there. And I was given an insight that, once again, people are not given lightly. But, you know, they've seen who I am, they know my background, and they know what I'm passionate about. And I was taken... And I spent time with a lot of people in Ireland there. And I think what we're looking at this present time, I'm speaking to partners in Canada about the potential for having a summit in Ireland that is against the World Economic Forum and what they're doing. We want to start looking at what we want to do, not what they want to do. And, you know, we might try and get some political leaders there, perhaps even reach out to people in the United States that might want to come along to that. So there's a possibility that we might reach out to some senators or congressmen or women that might want to come to this. That's the kind of level that we're talking about. I might even ask my old boss, Nigel Farage, if he would come along. You never know. He might. But that's certainly something that's coming. But just to finish off by saying once again, I'm deeply humbled to be on your show. The Hagman Report is a cutting-edge show. And my followers, I would say to all each and every one of you, you need to follow Randy and Doug. These are great people, and they've got the finger on the pulse as well. So give them a share and a follow as well. And maybe, guys, you know, all I would say to you is maybe we have to have another conversation at some point about it, because I know we're running out of time. But I'm dearly looking forward to being back in the States, and I certainly wouldn't pass you by. If I get over there again, I'll be coming to say hello to you. And thank you once again for the opportunity to be on your really, truly magnificent show.
We're not going to let you pass us by. We will kidnap you, whatever it takes.
Whatever we got to do.
we have the means. So, again, folks, Jim Ferguson, former parliamentary candidate with the Brexit Party, and of course, the founder of Freedom Train International. Yeah, just an incredibly intelligent and a man with his hands in the dirt, and I appreciate that, a doer, not a talker, not just a talker, but a doer. And so we are fans of yours, and folks, get behind freedomtraininternational.org. Please get behind them and really support them and support Jim's efforts. Randy, last word, 30 seconds.
Jim, just glad to have you, brother. It's nice to talk to you. And I speak for listeners in advance. I think everybody will have enjoyed your time here today.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Tremendous program. God bless both of you, and may God save all of us who are trying to save humanity from this evil that is so pervasive today. May God bless you. Have a great day.